everybody. You're listening to Breaking Beltway. I'm your host, Jessica Chasmar, coming to you every single Tuesday night from the lovely and corrupt Washington, D.C. I wanted to start tonight's podcast by talking a little bit about this lesbian waitress in New Jersey. Her name is Dana Morales. I'm sure most of you have heard of her by now. She's a former Marine who made headlines earlier this month when she said a couple left her a hateful message instead of a tip about her, you know, homosexuality. Well, it turns out that we've learned a little bit more about her military service or lack thereof, but we'll get into that a little bit. I want to talk a little bit about the actual note. She supposedly got this note and from this couple that she had waited on, and the tip line had been crossed out, and it said, "I'm sorry, but I cannot tip because I do not agree with your lifestyle." And anyway, she took that receipt and she shopped it around all sorts of media outlets, and it caused this big uproar about gay tolerance, and people from all over the country started flocking to this little restaurant. What is it? It's the Gallup Asian Bistro in Bridgewater in New Jersey. They started flocking to this restaurant to make up for the tip for which this woman was supposedly cheated out of. And I was actually really excited to report about this story when I found out that Dana was planning on donating every dollar to her fellow soldiers at the Wounded Warrior Project. So, you know, this whole controversy unfolded. Now the family, that has been accused of leaving the note, they've come forward, and they produced not only the identical credit card slip that has a 20% tip written on it, but they also produced a bank statement with the amount that clearly shows that they paid a 20% tip. And on top of that, they said that they would never, ever write anything like that to someone or cheat someone out of a tip that they rightfully deserved. The husband even said that he didn't vote for Governor Chris Christie because of his stance on gay marriage. And, you know, if you hear panting in the background, it's my dog. He's, like, literally right underneath the microphone, and he will not leave. So he's a little addition to the show today. You know, NBC New York, that's been following this story very closely, they asked her, you know, they asked Dana to her face, they asked what she had to say about the bank statement, and she kind of looked like a deer in headlights, and all she really said was, "All I know is what I've been seeing," and they've actually dug a little bit deeper into her background and who this Dana character is, and they found out some interesting stuff, so I'm going to play this video really quick.
She needs to stop making up lies and hurting other people.
Jackie Fitzpatrick says she waited tables with Dana Morales at this West Nyack Cheesecake Factory. Fitzpatrick says she became friends with her and grew sympathetic when Morales said she had brain cancer.
She came in with her hair shaved because she wanted to shave herself before she lost it. She had people helping her and like donating the things.
But Fitzpatrick says she and her coworkers soon believed Morales never had cancer.
She stopped showing up for work. She deleted her Facebook.
In fact, Fitzpatrick tells News 4 the next time she and her coworkers heard about Morales was on TV when she said she was stiffed on a tip and received a hateful message on the credit card receipt.
What was your reaction to that?
My reaction was, really? I was like, I definitely know this girl, and she's still up, like, there's something wrong.
I had watched it, and I had said to myself, starting like that, I was speechless.
This Marine says she was stationed with Morales in New York. She Skyped with us and asked we not show her face because she is still on active duty. An NBC Pentagon source confirms the Marine Corps dishonorably discharged Morales in May when she stopped showing up for drills.
I take being in the Marine Corps very seriously, and I wouldn't want anybody to look at somebody like Dana who is causing trouble. I wouldn't want anybody to think like she was a part of my Marine Corps family, because she's not.
The Gallup Asian Bistro tells News 4 it expects to close its internal investigation very soon. For now, they confirm Morales is off the waitress schedule, and at last check, she had raised $3,000 in donations from this story.
Anybody that's donated money or sent her anything, I think legally she should be forced to reimburse that.
You know, of course, NBC, they can't get a hold of Dana Morales, so she's pretty much MIA, and it doesn't look like these people, or the Wounded Warriors, for that matter, are going to be getting any of their money anytime soon. You know, I really hate this because this story was politically correct. It was a politically correct dream. Yeah, you have the lesbian, an American soldier working on a lower class wage, who's shamed and financially punished by the elitist, intolerant bigot. You know, it was perfect. It was perfect for the media, and I fell for it. I so fell for it. You know, announcing that she was going to donate to the Wounded Warriors was the icing on the cake. And liberals and conservatives alike cheered in her corner. A lot of you who are listening, a lot of you don't support homosexuality or gay marriage, but the overall consensus was disgust that someone would leave a stranger a note like that. And she duped us all. And people like this are chronic users. You know, we all have people, we all have Dana Moraleses in our lives, all of us. And, you know, she's going to have to lay low for a little while, and then she's going to take advantage of some other poor schmucks who's going to fall for it. And I got to say that, sadly, I'm going to have to be a lot more cynical with these feel-good stories from now on, because I do not enjoy being taken, and I feel like I was taken on this one. But that got me a little keyed up, so now I'm going to need something to go a little crazy to. And who better to go crazy to than Miss Crazy herself? This is Hole with Violet.
And the sky was made of amethyst, and all the stars were just like little fish. You should learn when to go. You should learn how to say no. My last day. Mine is forever. My last day. Yeah.
And welcome back to Breaking Beltway. Something I wanted to talk about tonight is this jihad on e-cigarettes, electronic cigarettes. Everywhere I look now, people are trying to ban them. Now, let me explain what an e-cigarette is. It contains a small battery that you plug into the wall and you recharge it. You have your liquid source that mimics the cigarette, whether it's flavored, menthol, or whether it has nicotine or not. And then you have the atomizer that converts the liquid into vapor. And there's no scientific evidence that this liquid vapor is harmful to its users or even secondhand users. No evidence. But the important thing is here is that they look like tobacco cigarettes. And in 2010, a federal judge ruled that the devices, instead of being classified as drugs, that they be treated as and regulated as tobacco products, even though they contain absolutely no tobacco. And the problem is, even though there's no definitive evidence, it's actually helping people quit smoking. I know several people who've quit smoking with e-cigs, and they didn't work for me personally just because they made me really crave actual tobacco. But for some people, they work. And several international studies show that they help smokers quit, and that e-cigs are even safer than other smoking cessation remedies, like, the patch or nicotine gum. Now, the USDA did find in 2009 some cancer-causing agents, but the levels were on par with existing nicotine replacement products, like the nicotine gum and the patch. So again, virtually no harm that these electronic cigarettes to your health. But yet, governing bodies all over the country are banning their use and treating them like they are tobacco cigarettes. Idaho State University, Missouri State University, Washington State University, the University of Texas at Austin, and the entire University of California system have banned e-cigarettes on their campuses. And the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill and Western Washington University, they have updated their policies to ban e-cig use everywhere where tobacco use is prohibited. But those are all universities. Leave it to New York City to take it to the next level. I wrote a story for WashingtonTimes.com that the New York City Health Committee will be considering tomorrow a piece of legislation that would ban electronic cigarettes. That it would ban electronic cigarettes where all tobacco products are banned. Christine Quinn co-sponsored this bill, and she's saying that banning tobacco cigarettes while still allowing electronic cigarettes would send a mixed message. A mixed message. That's her reasoning. And co-sponsor James Gennaro, he said people are also afraid that e-cigarettes will send a message to kids that smoking is safe. He said, and I quote, "We see these electronic cigarettes are really starting to proliferate, and it's unacceptable. I get reports of people smoking cigarettes in public libraries. Certainly, they're becoming more common in restaurants and bars." Line them up in front of the firing squad. They were exhaling water vapor in a library. Oh, my God. Listen, I've been to public libraries, and I once saw a drunk immigrant peeing behind a copier, so I doubt that water vapor is their biggest problem over there. Really? I mean, I wonder if this James Gennaro guy is married. God bless her. I can't imagine being out in public having drinks with someone who would have a problem with somebody smoking water vapor at a bar. And what is so deeply wrong with someone that they would see somebody doing something that they don't like and then immediately jump to ban it? Yeah, that's liberalism. That's what's wrong with them. Michael Savage said it was a mental disorder, and I certainly agree with him. I thought it was just about being human. I thought it was about being a normal person, but that's not acceptable anymore. It takes a special kind of person not to want to regulate everything people want to do. See, in a normal world, a human would leave this decision to the business owners. If you don't want people vaping, they call it, instead of smoking, they call it vaping. If you don't want people vaping in your bar, then ban it. It's really that simple, but New York is not a normal world with normal humans. The people in power in New York, their ultimate goal They're not even trying to hide it anymore. They want a completely androgynous society. They want to come into your business and tell you, no, it's not about what you or your customers want of your business. It's what the government wants and what the government deems acceptable. I'm surprised people are even allowed to own businesses in New York City. I certainly don't know why anyone would ever want to. This kind of overregulation is sick. I don't personally smoke e-cigs because I think they're a little gay, but maybe I'll start. I'm really kind of a jerk when it comes to my smoking, but I would love to go toe-to-toe with someone who objects to me polluting their air with my water vapor. That just seems like somebody I would really love to bully. But anyway, see, the beauty of having my own show is that instead of commercial breaks, we get to rock out to some sweet tunes. So we're talking a little bit about people who like the smoke, and here's somebody who loves the smack. Here is Stone Temple Pilots with Creep, followed by Lynyrd Skynyrd with The Ballad of Curtis Lowe.
Used to be. Well, I used to wake the morning for the rooster crow, searching for soda bottles to get myself some dough. Run them down to the corner, down to the country store, cash them in and give my money to a man named Curtis Lowe. Old Kurt was a black man with white curly hair. When he had a fifth of wine, he did not have a care. To ever play the blues. He looked to be 60, and maybe I was 10. Mama used to whoop me, but I'd go see him again. I clapped my hands, stomped my feet, tried to stay in time. He'd play me a song or two, then take another drink of wine. Play me a song, Curtis Love, Curtis Love. To ever play the blues.
Welcome back to Breaking Beltway, Raw and Uncensored. I'm your host, Jessica Chasmar. Last week I did a little fear-mongering about the tyranny that's already come to our shores. I talked about three people who were stopped at simple traffic stops in New Mexico, and they were forced to undergo cavity searches, and in some cases, even a colonoscopy, against their will, to prove they weren't smuggling drugs. Well, a disturbing story broke over the weekend out of the UK that I reported on for the Washington Times about a woman who was forced to undergo a C-section and her baby placed under adoption because she was deemed an unfit parent. And this woman, she's an Italian who went to Britain last year on a business trip to Essex. And she suffered a panic attack while she was over there, which may have been due to her missing her bipolar medication. She called the police, who then took her to a psychiatric facility and kept her there under the Mental Health Act. Well, that's when social services obtained the high court order to force this woman to undergo a C-section. And the woman said that she was left completely in the dark this entire time, and after 5 weeks in this psychiatric hospital, she was forcibly sedated, and when she woke up, her baby was gone. And that was 15 months ago, and the baby is still in the state's care. The judge placed the baby up for adoption because he was afraid that she might suffer a relapse, even though her lawyers say that she's back on her medication and that she's made a full recovery. Now, this kind of tyrannical force is frightening, and it's not far around the corner. I mean, this isn't North Korea. It's the United Kingdom. You know, they have universal health care. Who's to say that after 10 years of Obamacare, that this isn't exactly where we're going to be? They're already forcing you to undergo surgery against your consent in New Mexico. And what makes this even more damning is the fact that the woman has a mental disorder. Mental disorders can be very serious, and they're also a hot button issue here in the U.S. because they're so stigmatized. And simply having a bipolar disorder doesn't automatically make someone an unfit parent. What's also very scary is this woman's a tourist. Okay, she's a tourist. She's an Italian national. What if they'd done this to one of us? I was just over in London. You know, the baby is over a year old, and it's still in Britain, being cared for by Britons, by the taxpayers. This is scary, and I honestly can't see, at the rate that we're going, why this wouldn't be happening right here within the next few years. I mean, there's a school of thought here in the U.S. that the state should take custody of the children if they're overweight or obese. It's happened at least two times here in this country that I can think of right now, at least two times where overweight children were stripped away from their families and placed in foster care because they were overweight. And to give the government this gross overreach of power to decide our families for us, to decide for us whether we're fit parents, why have we put so much faith in them? That's what happens in a liberal society when you beg the government for mercy. This is what you get. You become a slave. You and your children become United States property. This little Italian baby's fate wasn't decided by its parents, and it'll probably never have a normal life, all because its mother had a panic attack, something that millions and millions of people, including myself, suffer from. Stories like this, they don't make a big enough splash over here. I doubt it'll make the airwaves over here. I reported for it in the Washington Times, and the Drudge Report has it, but it's mostly being reported by British media. But it's definitely a troubling prophecy to what's coming to our shores. But of course, let my heart not be troubled, because the government knows best. And in fact, that actually reminds me, I haven't done my repentance for the day, so take it away, Butters.
Hello? Hey, government. It's me, Butters. I just want to say, well, thanks for watching over me and doing everything you do. And please watch over Mommy and Daddy and my friends Stan and Kyle, Craig, Token, and even old Eric Cartman. I know he can be a meanie sometimes, but please watch over him, too. Good night, government. Oh, yeah. And thank you, President Obama, for making me feel so safe and looked after. And if it wouldn't be too much trouble, I'd really like to get a puppy for Christmas this year. Night, government.
Aw, isn't that nice? Thank you, Butters. Compelling and rich. Now let's go to Blackwater by the Doobie Brothers. You're listening to Breaking Beltway.
Mississippi, she's calling my name. Catfish are jumping, that paddle wheel thumping. Black water keep rolling on fast, just the same.
Oh, black water, keep on rolling.
Mississippi moon, won't you keep on shining on me?
Oh, black water, keep on rolling.
Mississippi moon, won't you keep on shining on me?
Oh, black water, keep on rolling.
Mississippi moon, won't you keep on shining on me? Yeah, keep on shining your light. Gonna make everything great. Mama gonna make everything alright. And I ain't got no worries, 'cause I ain't in no hurry at all. Mississippi moon, won't you keep on shining on me? Keep on shining your light. Gonna make everything gonna make everything alright. And I ain't got no worries, 'cause I ain't in no hurry at
to hear some funky Dixieland. Pretty mama, come and take me by the hand.
Take me by the hand. Pretty mama, come and dance with your daddy all night long.
I like to hear some funky Dixieland. Pretty mama, come and take me by the hand.
Take me by the hand. Pretty mama, come and dance with your daddy all night long.
I like to hear some funky Dixieland. Pretty mama, come and take me by the hand.
Come on, baby.
Some funky Dixieland, pretty mama, gonna take me by the hand.
By the hand, by the hand, pretty mama, gonna take me by the hand.
I like to hear some funky Dixieland, pretty mama, gonna take me by the hand.
Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to Breaking Beltway. Something else I wanted to address tonight is this female CEO over at Archie Comics, who's found herself in the center of a sexual harassment suit. I wrote about this story for WashingtonTimes.com yesterday, where five male employees are suing this woman for more than $32 million in damages, and they're seeking a court order to keep her 2 miles away from their office because she's supposedly obsessed with the male anatomy. Now, I'm sure a lot of you less mature viewers, like myself, have played the penis game when you were in grade school, where the object of the game is to start repeating the word penis louder and louder each time to see how loud you can say it before getting in trouble by the teacher. Well, apparently this lady, Nancy Silberkleit, liked to play that game too, only in business meetings by herself. She even started calling men in the office by the name penis instead of their respective names. The complaint, the five men accuse her of a deliberate and disturbed campaign of outrageous conduct. They say she even invited members of the Hell's Angels to one of their offices in order to intimidate them, and she's also accused of stalking employees and their families. Now, all of this is really pretty bad, but get this. Miss Silberkleit, of course, has denied all of these accusations, but now her lawyers are saying that even if they were true, the five people lodging the complaint are white males and therefore are incapable of being discriminated against. They say that the five white men are not members of a protected class under federal law. Now, you guys have believed it all along, and here it is in cold, hard, definitive proof that there is a liberal mindset and a liberal movement that white males should not only not be protected by discrimination laws, but they actually deserve to be ridiculed and discriminated against for their so-called privilege, their white privilege. I'm sure a lot of you guys have heard this word a lot. Tolerance peddlers, however, have made the error of going so far in the other direction that they're now revenge discriminating against white men. Throw in white heterosexual Christian man, and our society is going to have a big problem with you. I'd like to challenge you to find me one white heterosexual Christian man on television that isn't on Spike TV, and where the man isn't an ignorant, beer-drinking, overweight, you know, blue-collar worker. You're not going to find any John Waynes on cable television. You're going to find Blaine, the young, hunky, gay guy who sings and dances. You know, and I'm not crying victimhood here. I honestly do believe that men enjoy privileges in American society that women don't. And if you work for the Obama administration, that's especially true. But guess what? Women enjoy perks of being women, too. And we're all just going to have to stop trying to equate ourselves and start accepting things the way that they are. Discrimination laws are in place to protect all people from being targeted due to their race, ethnicity, religion, age, or sex. And that includes white males, Miss Silberkleit or whatever your name is. Your actions must have been pretty out of control to have five men coming at you. And if the allegations are true, you deserve to be vilified for the miserable shrew that you are. And hopefully you will soon be out of a job at Archie Comics and onto penning op-eds for Mother Jones or whatever it is you should be doing. However, you're listening to Breaking Beltway. Tonight has been an absolute blast, as always. Make sure to subscribe to this podcast via the iTunes store or breakingbeltway.com, as always. I also wanted to announce a change to the schedule. Now that Catherine Timpf is no longer co-hosting, I've decided to move the show to Thursday nights in order for it to work better with guests and fellow colleagues. So make sure to tune in next Thursday, which is December 12th, for my next Breaking Beltway podcast leading into the Christmas season. And now we're going to go into a little ass-kicking music. Here's Chick Habit by An April March.